The BBC presents a famous actor in a radio adaptation of a famous story, which for more than 100 years has brought to young and old the compliments of the season. With stage and screen star Alec Guinness in the part of Scrooge, here is Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol.
Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I am going to relate. It all began once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve.
Scarlet holly, all berries,
buy, Scarlet buy, holly, Christmas beef, never so cheap,
nice fat turkey,
Merry Christmas.
And to you, sir.
Oh, what a fog. Gets right into your nose.
Can I light you across the road, sir?
Thank you. And the compliments of the season to you.
And the same to you, sir.
Ah, there's a cab.
A Merry Christmas.
Oh, what weather.
Oh, but it's seasonable.
Oh,
yes.
Charlotte holly, all berries.
Bye, Christmas beef, never so cheap. Bye, never so cheap.
Christmas Eve, jollity, plenty. The merry shouting of the urchins. The delicious smells arising from the mounds of minced pies in the pastry cooks, the tornadoes of turkeys, the garrisons of geese in the poulterers, the barons of beef in the butchers, the rich ruddy glare from the grocers, the bonbons and gingerbread, the whole glorious pageant of Christmas. Christmas Eve, piercing, searching, biting and cold, and foggy withal. The fog came creeping in at every chink and keyhole, so chill, so all-enveloping, that in a dingy office deep in one of the narrow courts of the City of London, a poor clerk, with nothing to warm him but a fire that was more of a single dying coal than a Christmas blaze, had to blow upon his fingers to keep his hands moving across the ledger.
Oh. A Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe.
Yes, sir, this is Scrooge and Marley's.
If quite convenient, I should like to speak to a member of the firm.
The governor's crossing the court now, sir.
Ah, I am fortunate.
A penny for the waiter.
Wait, humbug. Who's this?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley's been dead these 7 years.
Dead?
As a doornail.
Oh.
He died 7 years ago this very night.
I see.
What do you want?
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some provision for the poor and destitute.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
The treadmill and the workhouse, are they still in full vigour?
Both very busy, I'm afraid, Mr. Scrooge.
I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it, very glad.
Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christmas cheer of mind and body to the multitude, a few of us are endeavouring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. Now, sir. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You mean you wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I pay taxes to support the workhouses, and those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
They'd better do it, then, and decrease the surplus population. Good evening.
If that is your opinion, I must apologize for intruding. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. What are you doing with that shovel full of coals, Mr. Cratchit?
I beg your pardon, sir, but the outer office is intensely cold and my fire...
Your fire?
Oh, I mean...
You don't have to pay for the coal, so you can afford to be reckless. It is evident that my interests are not your interest. See who that is.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Mr. Cratchit.
Hello, sir.
Compliments of the season to you.
Thank you, sir.
It's your nephew, sir. It's Mr. Fred.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Bah, humbug, humbug.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? Out upon Merry Christmas. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart.
Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
Good evening.
Well, I'm sorry to find you so resolute, but I've made the trial, and I'll keep my Christmas humour to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good evening.
And a Happy New Year.
Good evening.
A Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
Thank you, sir, and many of them.
Humbug.
That night, Scrooge left the office and took his melancholy dinner at a melancholy tavern, and having beguiled the rest of the evening with his bank book, went home to bed. He lived in chambers which had once belonged to his deceased partner, Jacob Marley. Gloomy rooms in a building up a yard, old and dreary, for nobody lived in it now but Scrooge. He closed his door, locked himself in, took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap, and stooped down to poke the miserable fire. Oh, queer. It can't be. And yet, yes, there it is again. In the fire. The face of Jacob Marley. No. Humbug. Marley's dead. He's been dead these 7 years. What's that? Yes, it is. In the corner by the bell pull, Marley's face again. Who's playing tricks with the bell? Who's playing tricks? It can't be a ghost. There aren't such things. I won't believe it. Ah!
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was. In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
In life? Then you are...
His spirit.
Oh, what do you want with me?
Much.
You're fettered.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link.
Oh, Jacob Marley, old Jacob, speak comfort to me.
I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
Oh, thank you, Jacob.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits. The spirit of a Christmas past, a Christmas present, and a Christmas yet to come. Without their visit, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first when the bell tolls midnight.
Midnight.
Mark well, and profit ere it be too late. Farewell.
Jacob Marley. Marley. Marley.
Marley's ghost bothered Scrooge exceedingly. Every time he resolved within himself after mature inquiry that it was all a dream, his mind flew back again like a strong spring released to its first position and presented the same problem to be worked all through. Was it a dream or not? The ghost had warned him of a visitation when the bell tolled midnight. He resolved to lie awake until the hour was past, and considering that he could no more go to sleep than go to heaven, this was perhaps the wisest resolution in his power.
Oh. Oh,
Go away, Jacob Marley, go away. I won't be haunted.
Spirit of Christmas. Bah, humbug.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who's there? Who's there?
I am the spirit of Christmas past, your past. Rise, Ebenezer Scrooge, and come with me.
No, no, I dare not.
Come, come.
Spirit, where are you taking me? I cannot soar through air.
Oh, oh. Look down, Ebenezer Scrooge. Do you know these people?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I never laughed so much before. Would you believe it? When I brought in the turkey, Mrs. Fezziwig said, "Why, Fezziwig, we shall never get it into the oven. It's that big." Well, well, Mrs. Fezziwig, my dear, I said, "You'll have to make the oven bigger." Make the oven bigger.
Do you not know them, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I do. I was apprenticed here in my youth. There's old Fezziwig and Dick Wilkins, my fellow apprentice, and that is myself. Why do you bring me back to this? Why? Why?
Ebenezer Scrooge and Dick Wilkins, you're home, my boys.
Yes, Mr. Fezziwig.
No more work tonight. It's Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer.
It is, Mr. Fezziwig.
Carry away those things, my lads, and let's have lots of room for the party. Hilly-ho, Dick. Sheriff Ebenezer. And here's the fiddler already. Come in, Ben. Come. Come in. Warm your fingers at the fire.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Fezziwig, here we are.
Splendid, my dear.
Ah,
come, girls. Ebenezer, you take Charlotte. And Dick, you take Sophia. Enjoy yourselves.
Doesn't Charlotte look a stunner, Dick?
Rather. And doesn't Sophia look bewitching, Ebenezer?
Of course she does.
Well, where's that fiddler?
Where's the fiddler?
Come, fiddler, let's have a tune.
Now, boys and girls, what shall it be?
Yes, what shall it be?
I have it.
What?
Musical chairs.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'll set the chairs out.
Oh, Mr. Scrooge, you are the wildest of spirits.
And all those that fall out, give a forfeit.
Ebenezer's right. Come on, fiddler.
Beware if I get your forfeit, Miss Charlotte.
Really, my dear Fezziwig, Ebenezer Scrooge is the life and soul of the party.
Ah, Ebenezer knows how to enjoy himself. Off we go. Hip and down the chimney road, in and out the eagle. That's the way the money goes. Up goes the weasel. Half a pound of curry rice, half a pound of treacle. On, Ebenezer Scrooge, on.
Oh, no, I cannot, I cannot. Why do you delight to torture me? Show me no more, show me no more. No, no, it can't be true. I'm here in bed, and yet... No, no, it must have been a dream. It must have been a dream.
1 o'clock. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. And yet old Jacob Marley said 3 spirits. Bah, 3 fiddlesticks. How light it's getting. It's quite bedazzling. The light's coming from under the door. I must have left the lamp on. What is it?
Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, oh, name and ever tremble. Come, come, and know me better.
No, no.
Come, come.
No, no, show me no more scenes of the past.
The past? I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. I have much to show you. Have you not a clerk?
Yes.
And you are rich?
Men call me so.
And yet your clerk, Bob Cratchit, poor Bob, with only 15 copies of his name a week for pay, keeps his Christmas merry, aye, merrier than you for all your wealth, and is the better man for it. Behold.
We smelt such a goose.
And we're sure it's ours.
What has ever got your precious father, then? And your brother, Tiny Tim? Get his crutch ready for when he comes. Father's been giving him a piggyback all the way from church. Bless his little heart.
Here's his crutch, Mother.
Whoa, Mayor. Thanks, he'll meet you.
Hush. That's them now.
Martha, hide, hide, before he can see you.
Yes, let's have a game with Father. Go on, Martha. Hide, hide.
I'll hide.
Whoa, horsey, we're home again now. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hello, Father.
A Merry Christmas, hello. Tiny Tim. Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas, my dear. Why, where's our Martha?
Not coming.
What, not coming on Christmas Day? Oh.
Yes, Father, dear. Here I am.
She was hiding.
Mother?
Yes, my Tiny Tim?
I can hear the plum pudding singing in the copper.
Oh, the plum pudding!
Let's see if
it's
ready.
Hurrah for the pudding! Hurrah for the pudding!
And how did Tiny Tim behave in church, Bob?
As good as gold, Mother. But, you know, somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in church because he is a cripple and they might remember on Christmas Day the one who made lame beggars walk and blind men to see.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, but he'll grow stronger. Oh, yes, he'll grow strong and hearty.
God grant he may. God grant it he may.
Shh, here he comes.
Mother, Father, the boys are ringing the goose.
Well, now it's here. Draw to everyone.
Oh, I am hungry.
We'll soon make short work of it. Tiny Tim, can you reach the table? Well, here's a box to stand your stool on. There. Now, Father, say a grace.
For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
There never was such a goose. Its tenderness and flavor, size and cheapness were the themes of universal admiration. Everyone had enough, and the youngest Cratchits were steeped in sage and onion to the eyebrows. Then Mrs. Cratchit left the room. In half a minute she returned, smiling proudly with the pudding. There it was, like a speckled cannonball, so hard and firm, blazing in half of a half a quartern of ignited brandy and bedight with Christmas holly stuck into the top. Oh, a wonderful pudding. Bob Cratchit said that he regarded it as the greatest success ever achieved by Mrs. Cratchit. At last the dinner was all done. All the family drew around the hearth, and Bob proposed...
A toast! I'll give you... Mr. Scrooge, my employer, the founder of the feast.
Mr. Scrooge, Father? Yes. The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on.
My dear.
An odious, stinky, hard, unfeeling man is Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Robert.
My dear, Christmas Day.
Oh, very well. I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his.
Then all together... Mr. Scrooge's health.
Mr. Scrooge's health.
A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us all.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, Tiny Tim, that little crippled boy, tell me that Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner and a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, say he will be spared.
If he is like to die, had he not better do it and decrease the surplus population?
My own words. God help me. God help me.
Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. There's more to show you.
Yes, I assure you he did. Uncle Scrooge said it. And didn't he put on a face, too? He said that Christmas was a humbug.
Oh, I don't believe you.
He did as I live, and believed it, too. Poor old Uncle Scrooge.
Christmas a humbug, indeed.
Well, nobody suffers by his ill whims but himself. See, I ask him to dine with us. He won't. What's the consequence?
He misses an excellent dinner.
Look here, I propose we have a game. Listen, I think of something. You ask me questions, and I must answer yes or no.
Good.
Then
come on, go ahead.
Is it an animal, Fred?
Yes, my dear.
Savage?
Ooh, fearfully savage sometimes.
A bear?
A lion?
A tiger?
No, no.
Does it live in England?
Yes.
In London?
Yes.
Does it walk about the streets?
Sometimes.
I know. A dog. It must be a dog.
No, it's not.
Wait, wait. I know what it is, Fred.
What is it, then?
It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Right. First time. Oh, poor old Uncle Scrooge. Well, he's given us plenty of merriment. Look here. Let's drink his health. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man. Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge!
When the laughter of Fred and his friends had died away, Scrooge looked about him for the ghost, but it had disappeared. Then the clock struck again. And remembering the prediction of old Jacob Marley, Scrooge lifted up his eyes and beheld a phantom draped and hooded coming like a mist along the ground towards him.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? Will you show me the future, Spirit? Speak to me, only speak. Then if you will not lead on, I'll follow. I fear you more than any specter I have seen, the shadow of the things that are to come.
The ghost conducted him through several streets familiar to his feet, till at length they entered poor Bob Cratchit's house, the dwelling he had visited before, and found the mother and the children seated round the fire.
Oh, Martha, I wouldn't have your father see my eyes red when he comes home for all the world, Martha. It must be near his time.
I think he walks slower than he used.
I've known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. But Tiny Tim was very light to carry, and Father loved him so. There's your father at the door.
Well, Bob, my dear.
I wish you could have seen the green place where he lies, but... Oh, my little child.
Bob. Dear Bob. Father.
My dear. However and whenever we part from one another, I know we shall never forget poor Tiny Tim. Nor this first parting that there was among us.
Spirit, where are you leading me now? What dismal place is this? How foul, how rank and neglected. This mildewed tombstone, all overrun by grass and weeds. Whose name is written there? Whose name?
E-V-E-N-E-Z-E-R... S-C-R-O-O-G-E.
Ebenezer Scrooge. No, no, no. Hear me, I am not the man I was. Give me one chance, only one chance. One chance. A dream. It must have been a dream. How long have I been asleep? What day is it? What's it like outside? Why, the fog's lifted. No mist, golden sunlight, sweet fresh air, merry bells. Oh, it was a dream, a dream. You boy, hey there in the street.
What's today? What's today?
Why, Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day? Oh, thank heaven I haven't missed it. Boyd, do you know the poulterers at the corner of the street?
I should think I did.
Do you know the prize turkey that is hanging there?
What? The one as big as me?
Yes, my buck. Go and buy it. Go and buy it. Here's the money. Catch. Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, stop a bit. You know Bob Cratchit?
Yes, sir.
Take it there. Take it there.
Yes, sir. You're a good one, you are, and I wish you a very Merry Christmas, sir.
I'm a good one, am I? And he wishes me a Merry Christmas. Come in. Bob Cratchit.
Please, sir.
Mr. Cratchit, what brings you here?
Your nephew, Mr. Freight, sir, asked me to ask you to reconsider your determination and dine with him today.
Oh, that's it, is it?
Yes.
Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I've had my eye on you for some time.
What have I done, sir?
What have you done? A Merry Christmas, Bob.
A Merry?
Yes, a Merry Christmas, Bob, my good fellow.
But, sir...
I'll raise your salary.
What?
And as for Tiny Tim, I'll be a second father to him. He's not dead, is he?
Dead, sir? Oh, Lord forbid.
A dream. Bob, will you do me a favor?
Anything, sir.
Go to my nephew's, tell him that I insist on dining with him today and that it will give me great happiness.
Oh, go at once.
Then make all haste home to your family. They'll want you today, Bob. They'll want you today.
I'm off, sir. Oh, God bless you, sir. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to everybody. And a merrier New Year to all the world. God bless us all. God bless us. Everyone.
You have been listening to A Christmas Carol, a radio version of the Christmas story by Charles Dickens, with Alec Guinness in the part of Scrooge. The music was specially composed by Hal Evans and conducted by Trevor Harvey, and the carols were sung by boys from the All Saints Choir School. The play was produced by Cleland Finn in the studios of the BBC.